Cricket Maharaj, just before he was to die, just 7 days before that time, he began preparing for that death. How serious a mood one would naturally be in if one had any intelligence as he prepared for death. So Prickett Maharaj asked the sages who were surrounding him as to what his activity should be in these final days, where everything is tested. Practically one could say that those are the most important moments of one's life, because they, even more than any other moments, determine one's future life. Whether one is going to be born as a dog, a cat, a king, a movie star, male or female, having a fur coat, a long, long nose, in the water, one's consciousness at the time of death, yam yam vapi smaram babam chajan yanti kalivaram, one's consciousness at the time of death determines one's next life. So how important it is, and therefore Maharaj Prickett's question was so sober. So sober, what should I do now that I am soon to leave this world? So Sukadeva Goswami was offered the great seat of respect due to his depth of spiritual realization. And although the sages who surrounded Maharaj Prickett did not all concur, they did not concur in their answer to the question of what should I do, what should you do, but yet everyone agreed to accept the answer of Sukadeva Goswami, and everyone listened to him. Sukadeva Goswami answered the question very quickly, actually, by saying, Shotavya Kirtatavyascha Smatavyascetstate Bhayam. If one wishes to become free from fear, one should certainly hear about, remember, and speak the glories of Krishna. Harinam and Akirtanam. And then he explained the different other possibilities that ultimately will all lead to that position about hearing about Krishna. And then he explained, regardless of one's position, whether one has material desires, whether one desires liberation from this world, or whether one is akam, akama savakama va, mokshakam udaradi, tivrena bhakti yoganiya jeta purusha puram, that one should, regardless of one's position, whatever one has within one's heart and is desiring, because everyone has desires, it is impossible to stop desiring. Practically speaking, our desires are the method which determines our future lives. Our karma, practically speaking, is stored within our desires. And those desires, the material nature reciprocates with those desires, sanctioned by Krishna. The material nature reciprocates with those desires and fulfills those desires according to what we deserve. So regardless of our position, whatever we have in our heart, whether we desire to love Krishna, whether we desire to exploit the material nature, whether we desire just to be free from the material world, regardless of what our position is, Tivrena, with great strength and focused attention, One should worship Krishna, bhakti yogena, with great devotion. Yeah, jeta purushapara, that supreme person. And then, when that worship is done in the association of exalted, pure persons, then the result of that, as described in the 10th verse, is that the material nature, practically speaking, will stop its effect on the individual and one will become satisfied. Why? Because of developing one's relationship with Krishna. So therefore, Sukadeva Goswami concludes, who could not be attracted to hearing about Krishna? Hearing the results. And this, the results of hearing about Krishna, just hearing the results of hearing about Krishna, they're so wonderful. Nivritta taisha upagiyamanam bhavo shadat shutamana bharamat. That this hearing about Krishna brings the greatest result. It cures the great diseases within the heart of so many material desires. It is the medicine, and this medicine is shuddha bara brahmat. It is very sweet to take, so who could not be attracted? So after hearing these points, because remember, there is Sukadev Goswami who is speaking to Maharaj Prickett, who is about to die, and Shonaka and Suta Goswami was present at that time to hear that dialogue. And now he is repeating that message to the thousands of sages in Namasharanya who want to know what to do to remove the ills and difficulties of Kali Yuga, of this age of quarrel and strife, of disorientation, of ignorance, of people always disturbed and unlucky and full of anxiety. So the sages, headed by Shonaka Rishi, they have been hearing Suta speak this narration between Sukadev and Prickett Maharaj. And now, after hearing Suta describe Sukadev's answer to the question of what you should do, what a dying person or anyone should do, he should hear about Krishna. Then after hearing this, Shonaka Rishi, the head of the sages, begins to speak. And for the remainder of this chapter, from text 13 to 25, Shonaka Rishi is speaking. And one could say that this remaining part of the chapter is divided into two parts. One part describes the glories of Krishna Katha, hearing about Krishna and his eagerness. And then, in the second part, in such strong language, Shonaka Rishi, who he himself is a sage, even though he is hearing from Suta Goswami, that doesn't mean that he is ignorant or foolish, that he's taking the position of hearing. No, he is very learned himself. A great sage himself. And in such hard words, he criticizes those who do not spend their lives hearing Krishna Katha, hearing the words of Krishna. Such strong words. We will hear them. He gets very fired up, very critical, and uses very hard comparisons. But they are wonderful. So, in texts 13 through 16, 13, 14, 15, 16, four verses, Shonaka asks to hear more because the initial question of Maharaj Prickett has officially been answered. What should I hear about? I'm going to die. What should I do in these last days? And Sukadev has already answered that question. You should hear about Krishna and you should worship Krishna. Then immediately, as soon as that question has been answered, Shonaka Rishi says, what happened next? Was that the end of the Bhagavatam's being spoken? What did Maharaj Prickett again inquire from Sukadev after having heard the answer so eloquently and poetically spoken by Sukadev Goswami. What did he ask next? Now, in the next text, in text 14, Shonaka continues and says, "Oh, Suta Goswami," because Suta Goswami is the one speaking, please continue to explain such topics, because we are all eager to hear. We want to hear these things. What did he inquire? Now it's going to be clear from the next two verses that Shonaka Rishi knew what the basic topic was going to be about. He knew it was going to be about Krishna. He knew that the talk was going to continue about Krishna. So therefore he says, beside that, topics which result in the discussion of Lord Hari should certainly be discussed in the assembly of devotees. This is who should hear about Krishna, because the devotees are eager to hear about Krishna. They have a taste for this. And as we heard, when Krishna had left this planet, back in the first canto, we heard very briefly the reaction of Arjuna and Yudhisthira when Krishna had left this planet. That just by remembering Krishna, and remembering the words of Krishna that Krishna spoke in the Bhagavad Gita, those words were so powerful. By remembering them, both Arjuna and Yudhisthira, because they were pure of heart and they had already developed love for Krishna, just by remembering Krishna's words, they were experiencing directly Krishna's presence. So this is the ultimate effect about hearing about Krishna for one who is already pure. One experiences Krishna directly in Krishna Katha when it is spoken by an exalted personality, and the audience or the hearers are pure. They directly experience Krishna's presence because Krishna is actually there in his words. This is the meaning of him being the absolute truth. Abhinatam namanamano. There is no difference between Krishna and Krishna's lila, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's form. There's no difference between Krishna, the person, and the talks about Krishna, his name, his activities, these descriptions. Krishna is actually present. So different than the water. If I am thirsty and I say, "Water, water, 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 water," that doesn't quench my thirst, because there's a difference between the substance, water, and the name, water. The sound, water. Because this is water in the relative world, not the absolute world. But Krishna, being the absolute truth, is the same as his name, the same as his pastimes, the same as his form. And if our consciousness is pure, that means desiring to serve Krishna fully and free from any material desires, then we can directly experience Krishna as Arjuna and Yudhisthira Maharaj did. So, the great sage Shonaka Rishi expressed his own personal eagerness to hear about Krishna, saying that these topics should be spoken of, because all the sages were devotees of Krishna and they wanted to hear about Krishna, and the speaker, Suta Goswami, was qualified. So in that discussion, they would all realize and taste the sweetness of Krishna's personal presence. Now how do we know, or how does Shonaka know that the talk is going to be about Krishna, of the questions between Sukadev Goswami and Prikit Maharaj? And then in one verse, in text 15, he explains Prikit Maharaj's position and why he would only ask Sukadeva about Krishna. And then in the next verse, in text 16, he explains Sukadeva's position and why he would only speak about Krishna. So in text 15, Shonaka Rishi knowingly describes Maharaj Prickett, the grandson of the Pandavas, was from his very childhood a great devotee of the Lord. Even while playing with dolls, he used to worship Lord Krishna by imitating the worship of the family deity. Prabhupada also in a lecture has described his own position in this regard. Or actually here he describes it too. By the grace of Lord Sri Krishna, Prabhupada explains, we had the chance of being born in a Vaishnava family, in a family of devotees. And in our childhood we imitated the worship of Lord Krishna by imitating our father. Prabhupada's father was a devotee, a pure devotee, who, although he was maintained the family with a business, as Prabhupada explained, his real business was puja, or worshipping the deity. And Prabhupada's early memories of his father coming home late after closing the shop and putting the deities to sleep and offering some food to the deity, and Prabhupada being woken up by the sound of the arti bell. What sweet remembrances. So naturally, because children learn by imitation, when Prabhupada grew a little older, he was given a set of deities because he desired to imitate his father's worship of the deity. So he and his sister used to worship deities in their childhood. And those deities for many years were on the altar. They were moved to the altar in Mayapur. Our father encouraged us in all respects to observe all functions such as Rathiyatra and Doliyatra ceremonies, and he used to spend money liberally for distributing prasad to us children and our friends. Our spiritual master, who also took his birth in a Vaishnava family, got all inspiration from his great Vaishnava father, Thakur Bhaktivinod. That is the way of all lucky Vaishnava families. The celebrated Mirabai was a staunch devotee of Lord Krishna as the great lifter of Govardhan Hill. So she was also, must have been born in a Vaishnava family. The life of many such devotees is almost the same, because there is always symmetry between the early lives of all great devotees of the Lord. According to Jiva Goswami, Maharaj Prickett must have heard about the childhood pastimes of Lord Krishna at Vrindavan, for he used to imitate the pastimes with his young playmates, because the verse says, Sonaka Rishi describes, how from his very childhood Maharaj Prickett was a great devotee, and while playing with dolls, he would worship Krishna by imitating the worship of the family deity, and with his friends, he would play the pastimes of Krishna, imitate the activities of Krishna in Vrindavan. Because he grew up so close to the time of Krishna, just like we met Srila Prabhupada, some of us met Srila Prabhupada, and others of us have heard from people who have directly seen Prabhupada. And in 100 years from now, there won't be anyone on the planet who's either seen Prabhupada or even met someone who saw Prabhupada. So it is actually very fortunate to be alive at this time, to meet someone who has seen this exalted personality and can say something about him, or meet someone who has met someone. This is described, what book is it described in, maybe Chaitanya Bhagavat? Is it when someone meets someone who had met Lord Nityananda for a few moments? I think it's, is that in Chaitanya Bhagavad it's described, as anyone know? But someone meets someone who met Nityananda Prabhu. Just for a few moments, Nityananda Prabhu was passing somewhere by a tree, and this person met Nityananda, and he was infused with ecstatic love by that few moments of meetings, and he was considering it so fortunate that he had met. So that person who had met Nityananda Prabhu talked to someone, and that person said, you met someone who met him. So Maharaj Prickett was so fortunate because he was alive, being such an exalted personality himself, he was alive just after the time when Krishna left the planet. He lived, he was the king during those times. So everyone was talking about Krishna's activities. Krishna had done this and Krishna had done this. So with his friends, these were the games that they would play. They would just imitate the childhood pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. And in this way, remembering Krishna, they would feel great ecstasy. So this is, as Prabhupada explains, this is Nitya Siddha, Mahabhagavat Nitya Siddha, eternally liberated souls. They get this great fortune. So this was Maharaj Prickett's position. So naturally, being such a person, such a fortunate, great, exalted person, what questions would he ask? Those questions would certainly be about Krishna, because that was what he was desiring. And then, in text 16, who was he asking? He was asking Sukadeva Goswami. And who was Sukadeva Goswami? He was the son of Vyasadeva, who was also full in transcendental knowledge. Sukadeva Goswami was also a great devotee of Lord Krishna, the son, who Krishna, the son of Vasudeva. So when you have a great devotee, Sukadeva, who was such an exalted personality, who was liberated within the womb of his mother, who stayed within his mother's womb for so many years because he didn't want to come out and get entangled in the world of Maya. And the only way he would come out is when Krishna himself promised him. He came to his father on his father's request. He promised that, don't worry, I bless you that you will not get entangled in Maya. You can come out of the womb. He was so liberated. He was so self-satisfied. And then he came out and left home immediately, but was attracted to the verses from the Bhagavatam, Kamva Dayavam Sharanam Brijima. Hearing the glories of Krishna, he was so attracted to that. So he heard the whole Bhagavatam from Srila Vyasadeva himself, the incarnation of the Lord. So when you have such a great speaker, Sukadeva Goswami, and such a great hearer, Maharaj Prickett, so therefore, Shonaka Rishi is requesting, please, please, what did Prickett Maharaj ask? What was the Krishna Katha? What more was spoken? I want to hear this. We all want to hear this. Why, again, did they want to hear this? Because in that Krishna Katha, spoken purely, heard purely, they would directly experience Krishna. Then Shonaka continues. For the remainder of the chapter, first he's expressed his eagerness to hear Krishna Katha and how wonderful it is. And the remainder of the chapter, he criticizes those who waste their lives not hearing about Krishna. Why? Because human life is a chance for the eternal soul. We are not bodies, we are souls. So it is a chance for that soul to regain its actual eternal position in relationship to Krishna. It is a chance. Dolamam manushya janma tarapadruvam artadam. It is a chance, a rare chance. So how unfortunate is a human being who does not use the chance of his human life, but rather uses the intelligence of a human to act like an animal. How he is wasting his life day by day, his chance is lost. So Shonaka Rishi wishes to criticize these people, which is another way of glorifying Krishna Katha. He's glorifying Krishna Katha and those who hear Krishna Katha and those who have a taste for hearing Krishna Katha by criticizing those who are wasting their lives, because he's directly seeing, experiencing how wonderful it is He's a sage. He knows the capacity of the soul for enjoyment, and his heart is breaking to see how people waste their time only getting misery, getting entangled in such misery of birth and death and old age and disease. So therefore, text 17. Ayoharati vai pumsam udyanastam chayanaso tasyatyachano nita uttama slokavartaya. Both by rising and setting, the sun decreases the duration of life of everyone. The chance we have is lost. The sand is coming through the hourglass. Our time is approaching for death. So every rising and setting of the sun means a materialistic person is getting closer to death. So the sun decreases the duration of life of everyone except one who utilizes the time by discussing topics of the all-good personality of Godhead. Because the devotees, those who hear Krishna Katha with every day, rather their life being lost, they're taking a step closer to their eternal life. Because by hearing about Krishna, what is the result? The desire awakens, blossoms within the heart to end our material existence and to awaken our loving relationship with Krishna. Because we hear about Krishna, his glories, how beautiful he is, his form, Guna Rupa Lila, Madhurja, very sweet. Therefore, the desire to live with him awakens in the heart. So as that desire awakens, one gets closer to his eternal life. So the sun rising and setting does not steal away a devotee's life, but rather, if he uses his time properly, hearing about Krishna, because it increases his desire to be with Krishna, it brings him closer to his eternal relationship with Krishna. You put on the tape.
So you think this does have a Krishna Katha, rewards of Krishna? There are two books, words of Krishna, one Bhagavad Gita. Every Vedic literature is Krishna Katha, but these two books especially, Krishna Katha. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is directly speaking, and Srimad Bhagavatam directly speaking about Krishna. Both of them are Krishna Katha. So therefore here it is said, Uttama Sloko Vataya. Vata means message, words. If we pass our time simply by reading and talking about Krishna, then the sun will not be able to take away our life. The secret. If you want to become immortal, then you always be engaged in Krishna. Always, 24 hours, always think of Krishna. This is Krishna consciousness. So everyone is dying, but those who are engaged in Krishna Katha, in Krishna consciousness, they are busy in Krishna's business, they are not dying, they are living. How? Because ordinary man, his duration of life, span of life is being taken away by the sun rising and sunset every day. If a man is 50 years old, that means he has to live for 80 years. So 50 years duration has already been taken away by the sun. 50 years old means that 50 years of time has already been taken away by the sun. It will never come back. But what about the devotees? He is also the same. His also life is being taken away. No. His life is not being taken away. Because he is going to leave. Superficially, we see that the body of a devotee is also taken away. But this is not the real body. The real body is the spiritual body. The spiritual body, just like Krishna says, prapta deham punar janma naiti mameti. After giving up this body, he does not take birth, he comes to me.
Prabhupada explains in the purport too. As a highly potent drug injected intravenously acts at once on the whole body, the transcendental topics of the Lord injected through the ear of the pure devotee of the Lord can act very efficiently. Oral realization of the transcendental message implies total realization. Just as fructification of one part of a tree implies fructification of all other parts. This realization, for a moment, in the association of pure devotees like Sukadeva Goswami, prepares one's complete life for eternity. And thus, the sun fails to rob the pure devotee of his duration of life, inasmuch as he is constantly busy in the devotional service of the Lord, purifying his existence. Purifying existence means removing from the heart all other desires other than service to Krishna. And that the relationship, the soul's relationship with Krishna, is awakened and enlivened very positively. So on one side, purification of existence means cutting our relationship with matter because it is illusory. We are not the body. And on the other side, it means awakening our relationship with Krishna. And thus the sun fails to rob the pure devotee of his duration of life, inasmuch as he is constantly busy in the devotional service of the Lord, purifying his existence. Death is a symptom of the material infection of the living being. Only due to material infection is the eternal living entity subjected to the law of birth, death, old age, and disease. Shonaka continues after explaining how every day is so valuable to hear Krishna Katha and get closer to Krishna and not waste. And if we waste it, it is just bringing us one day, one step closer to death. So what is the use of our human life? This is the point. It is to hear about Krishna. It is to awaken our spiritual life and advance in devotional service. So therefore, text 18, Shonaka continues, Tarava kim na jivanti vastra kim na svasantita nakadanti na mehanti kim grame pachavo pare. Do the trees not live? So what is the use of our life? What is the difference between ourselves and a tree? What is the facility that we as human beings have? A tree stands up, it drinks its water, it lives for hundreds of years, even thousands of years. So if our purpose of life is just to extend our life, then what is the difference between us and a tree? Do the bellows of the blacksmith not breathe? So one can say, well, trees don't breathe. So we breathe, this is our speciality. But the bellows of a blacksmith also breathe, taking breath in and out and in and out and in and out. Again, pointing to what is the speciality of being a human being, have a human birth. It's not long life. It's not standing tall. It's not our breathing. All around us, Shaunaka continues, do the beasts not eat and discharge semen? So having families, enjoying sex life, that facility, is this the great benefit of human life? No! No, he's saying. The great benefit of human life is the opportunity to awaken the true life of a soul. Prabhupada explains in his purport. The materialistic man of the modern age will argue that life or part of it is never meant for discussion of theosophical or theological arguments. What do they think? Life is meant for the maximum duration of existence. Live as long as you can. Get healthy. Take pills. Go to the gym. Keep your body together. If your heart breaks down, get a new heart. If your kidneys wear out, get new kidneys. Get artificial eyes, artificial legs, livers, tongues. For what purpose? Just make your life extend so that one can eat, drink, sexual intercourse, making merry and enjoy life. This is it. This is the ultimate purpose. The modern man wants to live forever by the advancement of material science, and there are many foolish theories for prolonging life to the maximum duration. But the Srimad Bhagavatam affirms that life is not meant for so-called economic development or advancement of materialistic science, for the hedonistic philosophy of eating, mating, drinking, and merrymaking. Life is solely meant for tapasya, for purifying existence, so that one may enter into eternal life just after the end of the human form of life.
Now the argument is that in the previous part it is said that we are decreasing our duration of life. The scientists will say, no, we should stop it. Taking this argument, Bhagava said, suppose you stop death. It cannot be. Suppose you increase the duration, span of life to a very extensive way. In reply to that, it is said that what is the use of living for so many years if the life is not properly utilized? Now, the living for many, many years, though the trees are also living, standing in one place and living for many years. In San Francisco we saw, they said that one tree, very tall, very stout and strong, and it said that this tree is standing there for 7,000 of years. Then what is the benefit? So we can argue that you cannot compare with sea and us, because we have got so many facilities. What facility? The facility, the tree is life, there is life, admitting. But it cannot breathe. So immediately the answer is, vastra vimana sasandhuta. Vastra, billow. We have seen big billows in blacksmith shop. That is also made of skin. Just like our body is made of skin, the billow is also made of skin, and it has got a big nose, and breathing is coming. Pause, pause, pause. So these are the tangible examples. If you want to increase your life, or there are many living entities, they are living many years more than you. What is excellence in your part? And if you say that I am breathing, the tree cannot breathe, or is the vastra Remember, you can be better than you. Then he said, no, they have no enjoyment of eating and making. Okay, then the Bhagavad replied, ki na khadanti na mehanti kingrami padamo pare. Wherever we live, there are many other lower animals, just like dogs, cats, hogs, asses, animals, camels, of course. In city, we do not find these, but in villages, these are domestic animals. Dogs, asses, hogs, camel, monkey, and so many others. Therefore, he says, grame, in your vicinity, in your neighborhood, there are many animals. They have got the facility of eating and sexual intercourse. So how do we excel them? The modern civilization is such a foolish civilization that they think they are advanced. I mean, which way you are advanced? The animals, the trees, they are far advanced than you in this matter. So far bodily necessities are concerned, you cannot compete with them. You are flying, so you can fly by aeroplane. Or the vulture can fly more than you. It is a vulture and it flies many miles above. And it has got very sharp eyesight. The vulture is so up. The business is where there is a dead body. That's all. He's trying to find out. Where is dead body? It goes high, but the business is to find out a dead body. That's all. Similarly, how are this advancement of science, increasing the duration of life, increasing the sex power, especially in this day, as soon as there is lack of sex power, there is divorce. Yes. But you have seen the dogs and cats, how much sex power they have got. So, beginning children, the hog can beget children, at least 3 dozen a year. What we can do? In 3 years, it is hardly can produce one child. And the hog will produce in 3 years at least 36 children. So you cannot compete simply by competing with these things, animal life. That is not excellence of life. Real excellency is that these animals, they cannot become Krishna conscious. That is the difference only. You can excel with all these lower animals, trees, birds, beasts, and others, so many, only by awakening your Krishna consciousness. That is the only business. And if you lack in that matter Krishna consciousness, then the other animals, lower animals, they are far, far advanced. They are far, far advanced. So, as human being, we should consider on this point. The Bhagavad is pointing out each and every step of our life and helping us how to become Krishna conscious. When Narada Muni advised Vyasadeva that you have written so many books, but actually they are not very much beneficial to the human society. You write such a book that they will come to Krishna consciousness. So this one Bhagavatam is especially written to bring these rascals and animals to come to Krishna consciousness.
The next verse continues, because although he's spoken so harshly and saying that the beasts, comparing people who don't use their human life properly to being inferior to beasts, and bellows and trees. Then in the next verse, because someone can say, well, you're criticizing, but yet there are so many other people, the newspapers are full, and the magazines and the radios and the televisions, they don't criticize the people of this world. Rather, they glorify them. This one has done something very wonderful, and they worked out this peace treaty, and this emissary has gone to this place and solved this, and this person has done this charity, and this person has scored the winning goal, and this person has run 100 yards. He's the fastest human in the world. So there's so much glorification of these people. And this person's the president. So the next verse describes that and the people who are glorified. Svavid varahostra karai samstuta purusha pashu nayatkana pato peto jatonama kadakraja. Men who are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses praise those men who never listened to the transcendental pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna, the deliverer from evils. So what does this verse say? Who, what class of people praise those who have no knowledge that they are not their body? Who think that the purpose of life is just to eat and sleep and merrymaking and make enough money and make plenty of money and then die with no knowledge? What kind of people praise that kind of leaders? And the answer is, those kind of people who do that kind of praising are svavidvara hastra karai samstuta. Samstuta means they are, stuta means prayer. So the people who are offering these wonderful prayers are like sva, dogs, vitvaraha, hogs, pigs, ustra, uta, ut means camel. They're like dogs, they're like hogs, they're like camels, and karai, they're like donkeys, asses. Now each of these particular animals has a particular meaning and great significance. What is the mentality of these people? Jiva Goswami explains that even if these leaders are praised by others, still these people, if they don't hear Krishna Katha and have no interest in that, they are still animals, but they are the biggest animals, and therefore the little animals are praising them. So here is what Prabhupada says on this verse, and he basically describes the sva, or the dog.
So, sva means dog, and big para. There are two kinds of hogs. One is that we see generally in towns and villages. That is Baraha. Baraha means ox. They eat stool, bilbara. Another, a jungle bara. They have marked a big, what is called? Tusk, yes. That is more dangerous. They live in the jungle. And bilbara means they live in the village, finding out where is stool, where is stool. Shami Baraha Ustra. Ustra means camel, and khara means ass. So, here it is, very touch remark, that anyone who has never heard the glories of Godhead Braja, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in other words, one who is not Krishna conscious, does not know anything about Krishna and God, they are no better than these animals, especially. don't get a suitable service, all your education is finished. Therefore, after education, you have to write application. My dear sir, I am such and such, qualified dog. He will kindly give me some service, and the tail is like that. Just imagine. If by education he becomes independent, just like Vedicals, the Brahmins, the Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas, they are independent. The Shudras are compared with the dogs because they cannot live without a master. Brahmin, he will not accept anyone's service. That is illness. A Kshatriya will never accept anyone's service. So why the battle of Kurukshetra was there? The Kurus took away the whole kingdom of the Pandavas, but they are Kshatriyas. How they will live? Therefore, the fight was necessary. The Kshatriyas must have some land to collect taxes. That is the Kshatriya's source of income. The Brahmin's source of income, Patan, Patan, Jajan, Jajan, they must be learned scholars. They must teach others. They must be devotee and teach others how to become devotee. They must take contribution and must spend for Krishna. This is Brahmin. No service. Formally, no Brahmin. Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, they were born in high class Brahmin family, Saraswat Brahmin. But because they accepted the service of Navam Kusensa, immediately they were rejected from Brahmin society. It is by the grace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that they again became Goswamis. Otherwise, they were rejected. No Brahmin could take service, and especially service of a low class man. That is, in Bhagavad we see, especially that if a Brahmin is in difficulty, he may accept the profession of a Kshatriya or asmos of a Vaishya, but never take the profession of a Shudra. What is the profession of Shudra? Shudra is paichajyātmatam kārcam śūdra-dharma sabhāvaram. One who is hankering after service is Shudra. He has no capacity to live independent. The Brahmin, real Brahmin, he'll starve. He'll die out of starvation. He'll never accept anyone's service. There is Brahmin. Unchavetti, he has no income. He will go on the field, and when the grains are taken away, some grains fall down. They pick up all those grains and leave on that. Still will not go to anyone that I am hungry, give me something. No. Unchal. So, our education, and why we are so independent? Because the education was very high, basic education, satisfied with Brahma realization, Brahma Bhuta Prasanna. Not very long ago, say about 300 years ago, there was a Brahmin, very rigid Brahmin, in Krishnanagar, near our Mahapur. And Brahmin's business, he was teaching. So the king of that place, when a big Jamindar, Raja Krishnachandra, had by his name that place is of Krishnanagar. So he heard about the Brahmin, very learned Brahmin, but very poor. So he one day came to him and asked him, Brahmin, can I help you anyway? So he said, no, I don't require any help from you. Gee, you are so poverty-stricken, you have no sufficient means. satisfied. Whatever is coming automatically, that's all. He doesn't require any higher standard of life, any moderation. He satisfied with the rice and tamarind juice, that's all. So each and every home, woman, this independence was very much valued. So as the modern education, this independence is being key. People are becoming unemployed, machine, high technologist means he must find out a job where technological machines are there, otherwise he will starve and he will have to go from factory to factory with a team in some service. No vacancy. So I shall discuss further next tomorrow.
How ironic it is that people nowadays value their independence so much, but yet completely dependent and everyone needing a job to live. So therefore, the people who have that doggish mentality, they praise the big animals, hogs, camels, and asses. They praise people who have these mentalities, praise people who don't listen to Krishna Katha. So we heard about the mentality of a dog. A hog is famous for being indiscriminate in what he eats. He'll eat anything. It's not that he prefers eating stool to sweets, but he'll eat anything. No discrimination. A camel is famous because he eats thorns. And when he eats the thorns, his tongue is cut by the sharp points on the thorns. And although the thorns taste so dry, because he's eating his own blood from the cut tongue, he's thinking, oh, the thorns have such a sweet, salty taste. But it's only his own blood that he's eating. So this is compared to the mentality of the householders whose whole life is tasting the so-called sweetness of sex life. And they're only eating, tasting their own blood and making their life shorter. And then finally, the asses or the donkeys, they work so hard. They work all day long. In India, you see this, that they carry these big, big weights of bricks back and forth all day long. These little creatures. And so much bricks. And then their master rides on top of them too, just to get a little food for themselves. So they're compared, the donkeys are compared to those who work so hard for others. The donkey is working so hard, but for his master. So the householders who are working day and night, to provide for their families, who give them no appreciation, they are compared to donkeys or asses. There's the story of Valmiki, who was a thief. And he used to rob people. And then one day, Narada Muni said, "You're robbing to support your family, but what would they do for you? You're committing so many sinful activities to support your family, but what would they do for you? You're going to have to suffer." And he said, no, they love me so much. So somehow or another, Valmiki Muni was knocked out. Was he given some potion of some sort or some mantras or something? What knocked him out?
He was sent home. He was sent to ask his family whether they would share and all the sins that were coming, and they said no. He came back.
So he left them.
Then he was initiated into the mantra.
So he realized when they said, the way I had heard it, he was knocked out, they asked, this is because of the sinful activities committed, will you take some of the sins that he's done? He's worked so hard, he's killed people to support you, to feed you. Will you take some of the reactions to that? No. And then he realized how everyone was so selfish, and he was being a fool, like a donkey. So then he took his spiritual life. He left home and took his spiritual life very seriously. He took care of himself in that sense. So people who have the mentality of dogs, that complete dependence on others, hogs eating everything, camels just enjoying sex life, taking their own blood in that way, and donkeys working so hard to support unappreciative people, they will praise, people who have those animal-like mentalities will praise those who never listen to the transcendental pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna, who is the deliverer from all evils. So in this way, Shonaka Rishi is criticizing those who don't hear Krishna Katha. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.